This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, February 10th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
An appeals court will not reinstate President Trump's seven-nation travel ban, setting up a battle in the Supreme Court.
OPEC follows through on production cuts, achieving its best compliance rate ever.
China's exports surge in January as the nation braces for a trade friction with the Trump administration.
The Senate has confirmed Tom Price as the next Health and Human Services Secretary, plus the fallout from comments made by Trump aide Kellyanne Conway. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Rangers rally with two in the third to beat the Predators. Islanders come up with a nice win in Philly.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by the FRM certification. Protect your firm's investments and clients in today's volatile market with FRM expertise. The FRM is the world's most widely recognized financial risks designation. Learn more at garp.org/FRM.
And futures, they are little changed to higher this morning. This is after all three major indexes rose to records yesterday. The S&P 500 adding 0.6%. It closed at 2307 with financial stocks leading that rally. This morning, S&P futures are up 1.5 points. Dow futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 5.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The FTSE 100 up 0.3%. CAC in Paris, little change. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 2.5%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.41%. The yield on the 2-year 1.18%. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $8.50 to $12.28.30 an ounce. The euro $1.0644. The yen 113.54.
A federal appeals court has refused to reinstate President Donald Trump's travel ban. And Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the very latest. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump responded to the ruling by saying, "See you in court." A federal appeals court has upheld the suspension of Trump's executive order calling for a travel ban on seven majority Muslim countries. Washington was one of the states that filed a suit against the ban. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
It'll be up to the federal government to determine how they want to proceed. But the bottom line is the stay of the ban remains in effect.
The ruling is likely destined for the U.S. Supreme Court. Karen?
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. We're getting official word this morning of a $16.6 billion acquisition by a U.K. company. Joining us live with the latest, Bloomberg at Daybreak, Europe anchor Neera Chehich from our London bureau. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, John, Karen. Reckitt Benckiser Group then agreeing to buy Mead Johnson Nutrition, taking the UK consumer products maker into the baby formula market and providing a catalyst for growth as its sales momentum slows. We're talking about a $90 a share takeover, a $16.6 billion deal. And although Reckitt shares initially dropped with a forecast of 2017 revenue growth at missed estimates, they are now up as the deal seems to have outweighed that. Shares up 0.2%. Overall, if we look at European equity trading about 3 hours into the session, we've seen equities lifted globally by some revival of the Trump trade, but that's softening a little in Europe with the Stock 600 pretty much unchanged now after 3 days of gains. The best performing industry group, though, is commodity producers, miners in particular. Now, part of that could be to do with the Trump trade, but also because of that better than expected trade data that we had out of China and construction companies not doing too badly either. They are the second best performers on the Stock 600 in Europe. I want to take a look at ArcelorMittal. This, of course, is the world's biggest steel maker, surging around 4% after reporting a 20% rise in profit, helped by a rally in steel and iron prices. Neera Chehich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
All right, thanks, Neera. Equities in Asia rose today ahead of a meeting between President Trump and the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Now, Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin has details from our Hong Kong bureau.
John and Karen, it's been a phenomenal Friday for Asian markets as Donald Trump promises a phenomenal tax plan, although scant on detail, perhaps lending credence to Deutsche Bank's Binky Chadha's view that the Trump rally is just beginning. Asian stocks rose to an 18-month high with the Nikkei 225 the best performer as a softer yen boosted Japanese exporters. And with cars possibly on the agenda at the Trump Abe summit, Japanese automakers trekking higher. And Chinese stocks capping the best weekly gain since November, helped along by the export rebound in January, the Shanghai comp closing 0.5% higher, and the extended jump in H shares sending the Hang Seng to a four-month high. Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Sophie. And we'll bring you live coverage of President Trump's joint press conference with Prime Minister Abe that's scheduled for 1 p.m. Wall Street time.
We're also getting trade data from China today, showing a strong jump in exports in January. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports.
Exports rose 7.9% in dollar terms, while imports increased 16.7%. Both were better than estimates in a Bloomberg survey. It's welcome news for China as it faces possible trade frictions with the United States. Earlier, Robert Van Trooyen, CEO of the Asia-Pacific for Maersk, told us business is looking better.
A good start of the year, a strong start of the year. 2017 has every possibility to become a very good year for shipping.
Even with the seasonal adjustments, the data suggests a pickup in growth in the United States, Europe, and in emerging economies. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Hi, thanks, Brian. And as far as OPEC, well, late last year when OPEC and non-OPEC members announced an agreement to cut oil production, that deal was met by skepticism from some analysts.
I certainly have a jaundiced view of OPEC's ability to make good on this pledge.
I have very little confidence in OPEC longer term.
It's unclear if OPEC and non-OPEC will be able to actually follow through on these cuts.
Well, now the International Energy Agency says OPEC countries achieved their best compliance rate in history last month, implementing 90% of promised output cuts. Saudi Arabia reported to reduce production by even more than it initially committed, and this is causing the IEA to boost its estimates for world oil demand in 2017. Checking oil prices right now, West Texas intermediate crude oil is up 51 cents at $53.51 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get an update on news from around the world this morning. And here is Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. A court battle over President Trump's ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim nations is far from over. A federal appeals court yesterday refused to reinstate the ban, rejecting the administration's claim of presidential authority. The decision prompted Trump to say in a tweet, in caps, "See you in court." Washington State was one of the states that filed suit against the ban. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
In response to the president's tweet, well, we have seen him in court twice, and we're two for two.
The Senate has confirmed Tom Price as the next Health and Human Services Secretary. The early morning vote was strictly along party lines. Members of the House Oversight Committee are calling for an investigation after comments made by White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway. During a TV interview yesterday, Conway urged people to go out and buy Ivanka Trump merchandise, referring to the first daughter's commercial line of products. A federal ethics law prohibits government employees from using their office to promote commercial products and services. Oversight Committee Chairman Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz called Conway's comments unacceptable.
What Kellyanne Conway did was very over the top, clearly over the line. It's black and white. It was wrong, 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 and it should never happen again.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer.
Kellyanne has been counseled, and that's all we're going to go with. She's been counseled on that subject, and that's it.
South African President Jacob Zuma's annual State of the Nation address descended into chaos last night. Bloomberg's Emma Mbata reports from Cape Town.
As opposition lawmakers brawled with security guards, riot police fired stun grenades outside Parliament, and rival party supporters clashed in the streets of Cape Town. In his speech, Zuma pledged to engineer a radical economic overhaul to tackle poverty, give the black majority a bigger stake in Africa's most industrialized economy, and reduce racial income disparities. I'm Khalang Bata, Bloomberg Daybreak, Cape Town.
New York City is digging out from yesterday's powerful winter storm. The storm caused commuters to have train delays, and commuters should expect train delays this morning, especially in New Jersey and Long Island. More flight cancellations are on deck, too, on top of the 3,644 that were already scrapped because of yesterday's snow. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. And coming up at 6:10 Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's Rob Buschke.
Good morning, John. Both the Knicks and Nets were off, which put the spotlight on the Rangers, who rallied once again at Madison Square Garden with a pair late to come from behind and beat the Predators 4-3. JT Miller scored a pair, and Kevin Hayes says of late the offense seems to be able to assert their will.
I'm not really sure. I think we all kind of complement each other. I like to pass, and those two clearly like to score. And Grabs, they're both having great years and scoring at will right now. So I'm just trying to find them, and they try to get it to me in the zone, and just go from there.
Chris Kreider also had his 22nd, as the Rangers have won four straight. Henrik Lundqvist had 34 saves. New York now fourth in the East. Islanders equally as impressive, picking up a nice win in Philadelphia.
Mark Streit for the Flyers, turning that one over. Boychuk jams it ahead to Cizikas. Cizikas, fan on a shot, gets it back and scores! Casey Cizikas got a second crack at it. He beats Mason, and the Islanders now lead 3-1.
Islanders TV, 3-1, your final. Anders Lee also is 19th of the year. The Isles still have some hope and plenty of hockey to play, just 3 points out of the playoffs entering Friday. NBA, Miami visits Brooklyn tonight, while the Knicks host the Nuggets. Trade deadline just 2 weeks away. In college basketball, number one Gonzaga stays the lone unbeaten team, pounding LMU 90-60. UCLA erased a 14-point deficit at home to edge Oregon, and Duke beat North Carolina in the Battle of Tobacco Road 86-78. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks. We're also getting some M&A news from the world of sports today. The Kushner family, relatives by marriage to President Donald Trump, are in talks to buy the Miami Marlins. This according to people familiar with the matter. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll talk OPEC compliance with Philip Schladek, BI Senior Oil and Gas Analyst, all straight ahead.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by SEI. Imagine assets servicing unconstrained by infrastructure or investment operations that predictively respond to change. SEI is creating the future state. Go to SEIC.com/imagine. 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. OPEC is complying with production cuts more than ever before. According to the International Energy Agency, last month the cartel met 90% of the goals set out under its supply agreement. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will probably try to convince President Trump today that Japanese monetary policy is not aimed at manipulating the yen. Defense and the auto industry are also on the agenda when the two leaders meet. We'll bring you live coverage of their joint press conference scheduled for 1 p.m. Wall Street time. China's exports surged in January, rising 7.9% in dollar terms. Meanwhile, imports jumped 16.7%. The country posted a trade surplus of $51.4 billion. And there's a rare triple header in the night sky this weekend. First, a lunar eclipse, then a full moon in February, sometimes known as a snow moon, and finally, a comet. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, thank you, Chris Kirkham. And Aon agreed to sell Human Resources and Benefits Administration platforms to Blackstone Group for as much as $4.8 billion in cash. It also said it will allocate part of the proceeds to increase share buybacks. Futures this morning are little changed to higher. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 4, the DAX in Germany up a tenth of a percent, 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.40%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.8%, or $8.43 to $53.43 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $8.80 to $12.28 an ounce. The euro, $1.0645. The yen, 113.44. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump's ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim nations is still on hold following a unanimous ruling from a three-judge federal appeals court. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco rejected the government's claim of presidential authority and said the executive order presented significant constitutional questions. President Trump reaffirmed the U.S.'s longstanding support for the One China policy. Trump made his first call as president to Chinese President Xi Jinping. The White House said the two leaders discussed numerous topics. They also extended invitations to meet in their respective countries. In sports, in the NHL, the Rangers and the Islanders were winners. The Bruins beat the Sharks 6-3. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Celtics were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, bees are still disappearing. And if something doesn't happen to reverse it soon, scientists are getting ready to step in. Researchers in Japan have turned a tiny drone into a pollinator by adding horsehair and a special gel to its underbelly. John, the system described in the journal Chem has proven successful in pollinating lilies, but any practical usage is a long way off.
So bees being replaced by robots, is there a bee retraining program?
Be for real. See what I did there? That was okay. All right.
Just go away.
Okay, thank you. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
It looks like members of OPEC are complying with the latest production deal. Let's bring in Philip Kladek. He's the BI's senior oil and gas analyst joining us this morning from our London bureau. And, Chris, you join us. Phil, you join us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. I should point out that careful listeners to the program would note that yesterday we talked about a Bloomberg chart showing just that, OPEC compliance. Compliance now, what's different than OPEC deals in previous years, Phil?
Well, I think Saudi Arabia completely turned its strategy over. Until November last year, they really tried to pump as much as possible and were really going after the market share, especially to Asia. But they realized that the low prices weren't driving out the high-cost producers enough. So I think what Saudi Arabia misjudged was that high-cost producers were actually quite well able to reduce their costs and keep on producing in a lower oil price environment.
That's kind of like the advance of technology with drilling.
Exactly, yeah, and efficiencies. And
you can't discount that.
Yeah, when things get tough, people get innovative, and that's exactly what happened. They just drove down their costs. There was a lot of technological progress. So in Saudi Arabia just realized that and gave in and basically got back to their old strategy of regulating the oil market. And Saudi Arabia and many other of the OPEC members are heavily dependent on the oil price. So they need a certain level of oil price in the longer term, and that's what they're trying to reestablish right now.
Yeah, there's an interesting point. We played a clip before of a bunch of analysts here that were very doubtful some weeks ago when we recorded that with them of any OPEC deal holding up. Those were mostly U.S. analysts. Is there a divide between analysts here in the U.S. and what the analysts over there think?
My impression is there is a certain disconnect right here. I'm not too sure exactly what the reason is. It might be that there's just a general stance of U.S. analysts that say you can't trust Russia. And I wouldn't necessarily challenge that in all instances. But in this case, I think there was really a very serious intention of getting the oil price back up. I mean, also Russia was suffering heavily. Russia's economy was suffering heavily from the low oil price, and they were just ready to do anything to get it back up. And as it looks like right now, I mean, it's an average. The goal is an average that they have to achieve, 300,000 barrels a day. So it's an average from January to June. So they haven't gotten to the 300,000 barrels a day yet. But we can expect there's reasonable reason to expect that they will ramp it up further, their cuts, and they will get to that 300,000 average until June.
Phil, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Phil Kladek, a BI senior oil and gas analyst on the OPEC deal. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries, oil market, and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers access at BI Go. Phil was joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line, nationwide fiber-based network, and IT infrastructure solutions. And Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by New York Community Bank. Yes, about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit nycb.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. And let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. According to the International Energy Agency, OPEC countries implemented 90% of promised output cuts in January. That's the best compliance rate ever for an oil accord. The agency says world inventories will also fall by 600,000 barrels a day in the first half of the year if OPEC sticks to that agreement.
Reckitt Benckiser has officially agreed to buy baby formula maker Mead Johnson for $16.6 billion in cash. It's a way for the British consumer products company to jumpstart sales and increase its presence in Asia.
And President Trump says he plans to release what he calls a phenomenal tax plan within the next few weeks. Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti has details.
The president offered no specific details on the plan. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says it will be one of the most comprehensive business and individual tax overhauls since 1986. Last month, Trump aides said he was warming to a corporate tax plan favored by House Speaker Paul Ryan that would cut the corporate tax rate to 20%. It would also tax U.S. companies on domestic income and imports while exempting their exports and offshore income. That so-called border-adjusted plan has run into widespread opposition from retailers and oil refiners. Major exporters, including companies like General Electric, have expressed support. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Gina. PIMCO's total return fund is trimming its holdings of U.S. government debt to the lowest level since September, as the bond giant warns inflation is picking up. The $74 billion fund reduced its stake in government securities to 46% and added to its position in investment-grade credit.
And time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures. Learn more at cboe.com/powerful-outcomes-VIX. The VIX fell 5% yesterday at close at 10.88. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX futures are up just a slightly 0.04, up 0.4% at 10.92. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Report.
Futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P futures up 1.5 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures up 5. DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.41%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.9%, or 47 cents to $53.47 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.8%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 of Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by CGMA, the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your finance team and supporting decision-making for long-term success. Learn more at cgma.org/radio. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. See you in court. The security of our nation is at stake. That is a tweet from President Donald Trump after a federal appeals court refused to reinstate his ban on travelers from 7 predominantly Muslim nations. The court in San Francisco said the ban presents significant constitutional questions. Washington was one of the states that filed suits against the Trump administration. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson spoke after the ruling.
We respect that the president has broad authority when it comes to issuing executive orders. But they still have to follow the Constitution.
Ferguson, responding to Trump's tweet, said, "We've seen him in court twice, and we're two for two." Republicans have won Senate confirmation of President Trump's choice for health secretary. Senators have approved Georgia Congressman Tom Price to head the Health and Human Services Department. By a strictly party-line 52-47 vote, the Democrats prolonged until nearly 2 a.m. Washington time. Democrats oppose Price's support for revamping the Medicare program for the elderly. Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey also says he's critical of questionable biomedical investments made by Price.
He invests in a company 6 days before he introduces legislation that would have benefited such a company.
Republicans see Price as a knowledgeable leader who will help scuttle the Affordable Care Act. The Northeast is digging out from a winter storm that dumped a foot of snow or more from New York City to Boston. Yesterday, some parts of New York got up to a foot of snow. Commuters should expect train delays this morning, especially in New Jersey and Long Island. More flight cancellations are likely on top of the more than 3,600 that were already scrapped because of yesterday's snow. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. And now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. The Knicks and Nets were idle on Thursday, but the news on Charles Oakley continues to come in. Oakley, arrested earlier this week in a Knicks game for assault, says he was harassed by security after he claims he bought the ticket.
I mean, you know, somebody walking up on you, you got to protect yourself in all matters. And I've been in a situation like that before. I've been jumped before. So my mind always matters thinking, like, if you see 7, 8, 9, 10 guys walking up on you, you have to brace yourself and be ready for the challenge. And that's all I was thinking.
Oakley was booked and later released. Knicks host the Nuggets tonight. The Heat are at Barclays Center to battle the Nets. The hockey, the Rangers pulled it out once again at Madison Square Garden with 2 goals in the third to down Nashville 4-3. 34 saves from Hank Lundqvist, but the offensive surge is what coach Alain Vigneault pointed out in the postgame.
I think Kevin and JT can make plays with the puck, and there's no doubt that Grabs, with his speed, enables them to get a little bit more open space. You know, they're playing extremely well right now.
Rangers are fourth in the East. Anders Lee notched his 19th as the Islanders played as complete of a game as you can hope for, getting a goal in each period en route to a 3-1 win in Philadelphia. The Islanders are just 3 points out of the final playoff spot. College basketball, number one Gonzaga stays undefeated 25-0 after beating LMU by 30. UCLA with a late surge beats Oregon, and Duke topped North Carolina 86-78 at Cameron Indoor Arena. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks to Rob. Dismantling the Dodd-Frank Act may end up making small and mid-sized banks great again. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Smaller institutions may have the most to gain from a rollback of the 2010 law that was enacted to prevent another financial crisis. Bloomberg BNA's Jeff Bader says one proposal being considered would allow an off-ramp from Dodd-Frank concerning regulations on liquidity.
Community banks tend to operate with less leverage than their big bank counterparts, so it could make it easier for them to access this regulatory off-ramp.
Bader says measuring risk may also change.
Steve Mnuchin, the Trump pick for Treasury Secretary, has said he believes in a regulatory framework that's not determined by just asset size, but by complexity and activity. And that remark, that sort of thinking, could mean relief for the regional banks.
Aside from Congress, changes could also come from new appointees who might alter enforcement and oversight of the industry. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Andy, it's now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
Some Republicans have grown tired of fighting the rest of the world on climate change. A group of conservative economists and former officials is recommending their party reverse course dramatically and push to enact a nationwide tax on carbon emissions. The idea deserves support from President Trump and congressional leaders. The tax would start at $40 a ton. The idea is to ensure that the cost of climate damage is factored into all activities that emit carbon, whether it's burning coal or burning gasoline. This could lead to bigger emissions cuts than were expected from former President Obama's Clean Power Plan. And a carbon tax has the built-in flexibility to push emissions lower over time. Other countries have demonstrated that carbon taxes work, and when they're well designed, they don't hurt the economy broadly. Congress would need to consider specific job losses and find ways to help the people most affected. Even if you don't believe humans are fully to blame for climate change, a carbon tax is just the kind of insurance policy everyone needs. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Predicting the coming spring and summer weather just got tougher. The end of a Pacific La Nina and no clear signal of where ocean temperatures are heading means more questions than answers for the agriculture and energy markets. The U.S. Climate Prediction Center confirms a weak La Nina, which starts when the equatorial Pacific cools, has ended. And that increases the odds that an El Nino could form by the end of the year. Until then, though, the Pacific has no dominating weather pattern, and traders are without an important tool to predict temperatures and rainfall, and how they may impact crop yields, demand for natural gas for heating, and electricity rates. Many long-term forecasts hinge on what the Pacific may do. It's still too early to issue an El Nino watch, since the best chances for the event to form are more than 6 months away. But if it were to show up, it could make it easier for hurricanes to form. And that's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Thanks, Patrice. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures up 2 points right now. The Dow futures up 22. The Nasdaq E-mini futures are 5 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg View is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's Donor Advised Fund is the smart and efficient choice to manage your philanthropy. Visit jcfny.org.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker, dealer, RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more. Futures this morning, little change to higher after stocks rose to a record yesterday. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Karen. It's Ed Lalonde. Futures are a bit higher today, with Dow futures up 20, S&P gains 1, and NASDAQ higher by 4. U.S. 10-year yield at 2.41%. Asian markets were mostly higher overnight. The Nikkei gained 2.5%. European markets are mostly lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30 a.m., import prices, and at 10 a.m., UMish sentiment. After the bell last night, Activision Blizzard topped forecast, shares up 8% pre-market. Also after the close, NVIDIA fourth quarter EPS beat the high assessment but was cautious on guidance, and Expedia missed profit estimates due to more marketing costs for its HomeAway business. In other news, Reckitt Benckiser is buying Mead Johnson in a $16.6 billion deal. And oil jumps as the IEA sees record OPEC cut compliance and rising demand. Watch for CBRE and Ventas to report later this morning. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Ford raised a hold at Jefferies, Twitter cut to sell at Citi and UBS, NVIDIA's price target raised to 145 from 120 at Citi, Teva cut to underperform at Mizuho, and QEP raised to outperform at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Ed Lalonde. Back to you.
And Ed, thank you so much. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump will meet today with Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. It's believed Abe will propose Japanese investment in the U.S. In a party line vote, Georgia Congressman Tom Price won confirmation as head of the Department of Health and Human Services. See you in court. That's what President Donald Trump tweeted after a federal appeals court refused to reinstate his travel ban that kept people from seven predominantly Muslim nations out of the U.S. The federal appeals court in San Francisco said the argument that the ban targets Muslims raised serious allegations and presented significant constitutional questions. In sports in the NHL, the Rangers and the Islanders were winners. The Bruins beat the Sharks. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Celtics were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, on this day in history in 1972.
Ziggy played guitar, chiming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars.
David Bowie fell to earth as Ziggy Stardust at London's Toby Jug Pub. Few people back then attended the gig. John, it was the singer's first performance as a spiky, orange-haired spaceman.
Yeah, and from our perspective, Bowie would later introduce that innovative financing in music, the Bowie bonds. Remember that?
Huh. No, Bowie, you know, he was in it. I miss him. He was great. But Bowie's album, Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, made him a big star. Global News 24 hours a day. Powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. When Republicans refused to take up President Obama's nomination of Judge Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court, furious Democrats said that the Constitution required that he get an up or down vote. It wasn't true. The Constitution contains no such provision. Now some Democrats want to filibuster President Trump's nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. But their own past words are an obstacle. Filibusters work by blocking up or down votes, which many Democrats said were constitutionally required. Senator Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire was one of those Democrats. She says she might filibuster Gorsuch. When she said nominees deserve an up or down vote, she now explains, all she meant was that there should be a vote on whether to hold a vote on his nomination. But if she tries to block a final vote, it will show that her claims about the Constitution last year were not just false, but insincere. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. This tax season marks the latest effort by TurboTax into its popular tax software to open up its platforms to a range of outside developers. Those partners will be able to see data from your tax form if you let them. They'll then determine if you're a candidate for what TurboTax says will be money-saving financial products or services. Intuit has pulled off a similar type of project in its operation that focuses on small businesses. Since it opened up its QuickBooks small business accounting platform about 5 years ago, some 3,000 developers have integrated their applications into the platform. The company's new pitch comes as financial services companies race to offer just-in-time products or services tailored to a small business's financial and behavioral profile, and as concerns over privacy and fraud are at their peak. TurboTax says it's set a high bar for developers who it partner with and that it maintains strict privacy policies. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Yeah, time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe heading to the White House to meet with President Trump. We'll bring you live coverage of their joint press conference following that meeting. That is scheduled for 1 p.m. Wall Street time. The Senate is set to continue voting on nominations for President Trump's cabinet. And the federal appeals court has refused to reinstate the president's travel ban for 7 countries. Joining us now on the Spectrum phone line, Spectrum Enterprise phone line, Spectrum Enterprise nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions, is Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa live at the White House. Tolu, good morning to you. We also heard the president say yesterday he's going to release his tax plan for the in the next few weeks. What are we expecting from that? I think he used the word phenomenal.
Yeah, it's an incredibly busy time in Washington, as you just ran down through a number of different things going on the tax plan. The president sort of shocked a number of people when he said that he believes he's ahead of schedule with releasing his tax plan, and he told a number of airline executives that it would be a phenomenal tax plan. And we asked his press secretary about that yesterday, and he said that this is the comprehensive tax plan that the administration has been floating, both on individual taxes and on business taxes. They said it's going to reduce the overall tax burden for America and for American businesses. So it's a huge undertaking. Obviously, the House Republicans have put out their plan, and they've sort of sparred a little bit with the administration over this issue of the border adjustment tax. It's something that Trump President Trump said that he was, uncomfortable with it at one point, and then he seemed to warm up to it. And I believe when we finally see this plan in a few weeks, we'll know where he came down in the end.
Well, certainly Wall Street liked it. We are also learning this morning that Mr. Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn, spoke to Russian officials about sanctions. And this was before the president took office. That's according to a report from the Washington Post. What else do we know about this? How significant is this?
Yeah, this was a major report about the president's national security advisor, and it contradicts what we've heard from the administration over the last few weeks as reporters have asked about these calls and text messages between the national security advisor and the Russian ambassador before President Trump took office. It looked like the national security advisor was basically telling the Russians that they shouldn't worry about the sanctions that President Obama was putting on at the time, and they shouldn't overreact to them because when President Trump took office, he could potentially review them and maybe scale them back. And that's something that's caused a lot of concern about the separation of powers, one president at a time, the Logan Act, which basically bars Americans from sort of taking diplomacy on their own, and that's in opposition to the actual government. And so this is a very big and serious report that's raising concerns for the administration, for National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, and as well for Vice President Michael Pence, who went in public before the TV shows on one of the Sundays after this happened and said that there was no discussion of these sanctions. And now the Vice President is walking that back a little bit and saying that he was basing that on what he was told by Michael Flynn. So there's a lot of miscommunication coming out of the administration. They're going to have to sort it out here in the next day or so.
As far as the travel ban in the appeals court ruling, I would be fascinated to know what the Donald Trump's pick for the Supreme Court, what does he think about all this?
Yeah, we have not yet heard his opinion. He's tried to keep that under wraps for now, but the fact that this is something that could end up on the Supreme Court sort of makes a larger highlight for the battle that we're going to see over this nomination. Obviously, there's a 4-4 split on the Supreme Court right now, and if this were to go up to the Supreme Court, there's a lot of speculation that it could end up in a deadlock, and it's leading a number of Democrats who are in the Senate and have a vote on this nomination to say this is yet another reason to try to block Donald Trump's nominee from getting onto the Supreme Court.
You've got your work cut out for you. Bloomberg's Tulu Olorunipa joining us on the Bloomberg Spectrum Enterprise phone line this morning. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. You can read more about the story at Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. You can follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1, 105.7 FM HD2. Just look who's back, just ahead on Bloomberg Surveillance. How are you feeling?
A little better. I sound a bit rougher than I
David
did.
David anyway. Gura, Tom Keene.
We'll be talking about Washington a good deal on the show today. Noah Feldman will join us from Harvard Law School. He's a columnist for Bloomberg View. We'll talk about that court decision. And then Abby Joseph Cohen-John will be here. She's the president of the Goldman Sachs Global Markets Institute.
Thank you, David. You look much better. That's all ahead on Bloomberg Surveillance. David Gura and Tom Keene. For Karen Bosco, I'm John Tucker, S&P Futures right now. About 2 points higher, the Dow futures up 20. You've been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.